Hey, hey, we're Monkeying Around, a podcast about the monkeys. I'm Veronica Daschle, and today I'm monkeying around with Elaine Sweatman.
Hello.
And Charles Kelso.
Hi.
And we're talking about the monkeys. And welcome back to Monkeying Around. Today we're going to have some conversations about Chuck and Mai's experience on the Beach Boys cruise and getting to go see the very first Mickey Dolan Celebrates the Monkeys concert. But first, we got some monkeys news.
Yeah. 7A Records again, believe it or not. It seems like every podcast now we've got 7A Records news. But they are releasing the 50th anniversary edition of Tantamount to Treason, Volume 1. It's a reissue of the Mike Nesmith set 1972 album. It'll be coming out on June 3rd. It's been remastered, expanded with bonus tracks, and given a brand new cover painting by Wilson McLean, who also painted the original album sleeve. The CD comes with a 32-page booklet, including extensive liner notes, previously unpublished photos, and lyrics to all the songs. The vinyl is presented in a gatefold sleeve and is pressed on 180-gram aqua-colored splatter vinyl. The bonus tracks have never previously been released on vinyl, and they have pre-order links already available.
Very exciting.
Yeah. So I think it was May 5th that And the Hits Just Keep on Coming is being reissued.
Okay.
And now Tantamount to Treason Volume 1 the following month on June 3rd. So a lot of Nesmith reissues coming out.
Good.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I have pre-ordered them. Oh, yeah.
Have you guys seen the new artwork?
For Tantamount to Treason. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know if I know what the original artwork looked like. So I'm going to have to go back and find that and look at it.
Yeah, it's sort of continuing the theme. The original artwork was kind of the hand of the Statue of Liberty sticking up out of a world that was being filled with pollution. And the new one is sort of extending that, but more of a global warming theme with a polar bear on an ice cap. And he's the picture of Nez at the top. He's made into older white haired Nez instead of younger dark haired Nez.
And they had on the far left side, I remember there is like a bunch of guys and forest fires and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which has been a big thing in California recently.
Yeah. And they said that Wilson McLean painted it as if how he would have painted that cover today, given what's going on in the world. So it's interesting. You don't usually see a whole new album cover like that.
No,
you don't. In an album reissue. But the original album cover will be on the inner sleeve. So it's not being left off. But yeah, I think it's cool.
I like that. I like it when the reissue is a different... I think reissues being a different cover is interesting because then you're like, well, no, I have to buy the reissue to have the other cover.
Well, and some people, like I buy them and put them on a shelf and then play them. And then some people, though, buy them and frame them and have them for display. So it'd be a cool display piece, too, to have the original and the new one side by side.
That'd be a very cool visual.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes it easy at a glance to be able to tell what you're looking at, whether it's a reissue. You don't have to, like, you know, read the information on the album to figure out what you're looking at. It you can at a glance look at it and say, oh yeah, that was the 2022 reissue.
Right.
All right. So we came back from Monkey's Cruise a couple of weeks ago. Well, Monkey's Cruise. Okay.
We've been monkeying around all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. We originally were going to try and get some audio recordings of other fans.
Or just our own play by play.
Yeah.
But we did not.
No. No.
Instead, we drank margaritas and watched bands play.
Hey! Yes.
There was do on a boat in the middle. I know.
We didn't do any work at all.
No. We there's concerts galore going on. Unfortunately, Mickey only had one concert.
Mm-hmm. You gotta be kidding.
It was fun though.
But it was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
It was a ton of fun. There wasn't a whole lot of meet and greet with Mickey, unfortunately, but Beach Boys had two shows. There was a walkthrough photo shoot with them, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, it's kind of like the photo shoot you do at a convention where you stand in line for an hour and you walk in and smile next to a celebrity and then walk back out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Love noticed you.
Yes.
Or
yes,
your sunburn.
He noticed my sunburn.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, whoa, when we walked up.
Yeah.
So I got a whoa from Mike Love.
Yeah. You had a very sunburned chest. And I guess we'll never know for sure. whether he was reacting to the sunburn or not, but he said, whoa. So that's a nice reaction from Mike Love, something to remember.
All right, look, let's be grown up about this whole thing.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. So, Elaine, I don't want to like leave you out and be in Chuck talking the entire time. Did you want to know anything about our experiences? Well,
the one question I got, because I asked my husband, Matt, I said, is there anything you would like to know? Like, I'm trying to, you know, from outside perspective, he's like, well, how, like, he was asking about basic cruise information because we are going on a cruise next year. I said, no, I don't want that. Like, and he was curious about how the concerts were scheduled. Were there multiple shows at a time and you had to pick and choose, or was it this day with this person and this day with this person?
Yeah, it was pretty much a going from show to show. They had basically three venues that they had. So one of them was poolside, where they had one of the pools covered up and they had a stage there. There was still another pool and two of the four or so hot tubs on this particular one. So I think the Norwegian Pearl specifically has been converted into like a concert cruise ship. So then they have the Starlight Theater, and then they have the atrium where they've set up the stage right by beside the bar. So kind of depending on the popularity, I guess, of the guests, it kind of depended on where they were performing. So there is like this grassy area in front of the pool stage.
Not real grass.
It was not really grass. It was a fake grass.
That's what they call it, the pool deck.
Yeah.
Which when we were first reading about it, and you know, there's like theaters and stuff inside, but also the pool deck, and they had Mickey listed at the pool deck, and I was a little concerned about that. Like, are they like shuffling Mickey off to sing by the pool instead of in the theater? But no, the pool deck is the spot to be, because that's where everyone goes to watch the concerts. And of course, the pool and jacuzzi are there, but there's a couple bars. There's the whole rail, like a railing up top where you can go up top and watch, or you can get down. There's a dance area. So it was that was a good spot. So I was glad Mickey was there. The Beach Boys were there in the same spot, too. And then we saw a couple of other shows that were in the theaters, and those theaters are cramped and not a good place to watch a concert.
Theaters in general, not a good place to watch a concert.
Well, but these you have to. If anyone else is sitting there, if you want to get out, like, for instance, if you've had 14 margaritas that day and it's nature's calling, you have to either climb over them or they have to stand up and you have to squeeze past. Like, there's no good way to get back out of there. Right. So I enjoyed the pool deck concerts, and Mickey's concert was great. And he also did, well, he did a backyard barbecue, which We barely saw Mickey there. We saw him take the stage and say a few words. Apparently, he had a little bit of a meet and greet stuff going on, but
we missed it somehow.
Yeah, and that must have happened somewhere else, because we were up top and we never saw that going on. But apparently some fans got to meet him and get a picture with him. We did not. But the more interesting thing to me was that he did a Q&A moderated by Andrew Sandoval, which was pretty interesting. And Andrew revealed some things about stuff coming up that sounds pretty intriguing, and specifically the new Beatland book, which sounds like it's going to be about the Monkees' careers before the Monkees.
I think I heard him mention something on another podcast about that. Maybe. Yeah.
And he was going through some, like, he was going through Mickey's storage rooms, where all of like the, I imagine it's like that warehouse in the Raiders of the Lost Ark of just Mickey's stuff. But Mickey's got a lot of footage that he filmed over the years. He, of course, had like a professional grade camera he would take around and film things of the guys and himself and things like that. But, and this won't be part of the book, but Andrew also mentioned that they've discovered a board recording of his Circus Boy concert from, I think, 1957, when Mickey went out as Circus Boy and his elephant was there, the big promotional thing. I think it was in Pittsburgh, and Mickey performed like five songs, and he's got the board recording of that. And it sounds like that's going to be released in some capacity. I don't know if it'll be a 7A thing or what, or if it'll be like, if you buy the $300 book, it comes with a record. Yeah. I don't know, but that's pretty exciting. I'd love to get a Circus Boy EP of, you know, 10-year-old Mickey singing to the crowd.
I picture him singing. I mean, I know there's pictures of him, you know, with the blonde hair and everything, but I don't know that I've ever seen him performing looking like that.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to hear. Yeah. And I mean, I guess we'll just be waiting on his prenatal work he's always talking about. About his early, Mickey's early stuff. But yeah, I'm really excited about this book. It sounds like he's uncovered a lot of material about the Monkees, and it sounds like all four of them. And now he didn't go step by step on what all is going to be in this book. So I may be adding my own speculation in with it, but it sounds like it's going to be a book about the Monkees' careers before they were the Monkees, about their lives or about their early work. And if it's as in depth as his as Andrew's previous book, then I think we're in for a treat.
I will have to make sure to get that one because I missed out on the other one. Well, and that was something that was announced today. The Blu-ray of the series, you can now get it from the monkees.com, their store.
Yeah.
I know they had it available at some of the Mickey shows.
Yes.
But now it's online, so you can order it now. And so I'm hoping that maybe one day, maybe they'll do another run of the big book. Maybe that would be my dream.
Yeah. We made a beeline for the merch table.
Yeah. Are we moving on to the other concert now, or do we want to save that for talking about the Nashville experiences?
Yes.
Or do we want
to have stay tuned for information on the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Cruise was awesome.
Yeah. The Beach Boys were great. Mark McGrath was there for some reason.
I saw that. I was like, that's kind of random, but okay.
Yeah. I didn't expect him. Mark McGrath came jumping out and I was like, huh? There's Mark McGrath.
Yeah. Like during the Beach Boys concert, he would like join in on them. And then near the end of the Beach Boys sets, he'd do a song or two of his from Sugar Ray. It was interesting. I mean, like I knew he was going to be on there, but for one, I forgot who he was. I didn't know. I didn't connect.
Well, you haven't thought about Mark McGrath in 20 years, so that's excusable.
Yes. I would have remembered Sugar Ray, but I would not have remembered the name Mark McGrath. I thought
he was big back in my MTV days.
I was going to say that was back when my oldest was a kid. It would have been cool if John Stamos had been on the ship because I know he used with the Beach Boys. That would have been cool.
Someone mentioned that like when they were like talking, it sounded like they were talking about him and they're like, oh, is John Stamos here? He sometimes performs with them, but he wasn't.
No,
but they cool. had a picture of him on the screen. But he was not there.
Yeah, I think Mike Love just sort of picks up friends as he goes along.
Yeah.
John Stamos, Hanson, Mark McGrath, you know, just like hop in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
jump around the stage. We'll do the singing and you could sing too and jump around the stage and add some youthful energy.
Yeah. And he was good. And they were all good. I mean, obviously Mike Love and Bruce Johnston are older now. They're not quite as animated as they once were. But the other guys they have as performing with the Beach Boys now, they're all great. They all were in good voice. I mean, it was fun shows.
Yeah.
Well, that's like some of the older groups I've seen. There's a group called the Tams and I saw them. It's been years ago, but they had like one or two of the original members, but then they've like brought in younger members. They're like the sons or the grandsons of some of the original members that have come in because, you know, the older ones want to retire. And so they, you know,
It
sounds like maybe what the Beach Boys are doing a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think that one of the guys playing is Mike Love's son. Quote me on that, but I think so.
I feel like that is correct. Also, the Temptations were there.
Yes.
And unfortunately, the only surviving member is Otis.
The originals. I mean,
the originals. But
the Temptations always had sort of a rotating group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's been the only remaining of the originals for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And they actually have a new person that just joined them near the end of 2021. And I do not remember his name, unfortunately, but he was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of them were fantastic, like just watching them up there and doing their moves. And they were all just having a ball up there dancing and singing. And
they get into it with the costumes and the choreographed moves. And this, you're just watching the Temptations.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. They did a good job with this because this was a Beach Boys cruise, which to me sounds perfect. I mean, the Beach Boys are a perfect band to go on a cruise with if you're going to go on a cruise with a band. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they had the Temptations. They had Mickey Dolenz. They had a Beatles cover band called A Hard Day's Night. They had an all-female surf group called the Surfer Jets.
Okay.
So it was all had sort of a that era, the sort of a 60s feel to all of it. So it was all fun. We saw, I don't know how many concerts we saw, 7-8 concerts over the course of the 4 days we were at sea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it busy? Were there a lot of people on the cruise or was it?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like super packed out, but I think someone had said at some point there was about 1,200 to 1,300 people.
Hmm. Yeah. It'd probably be weird being around that many people now.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to some shows and concerts and stuff, but to be stuck on a boat with people is kind of still a little weird to me with all the pandemic stuff.
Well, I was a little apprehensive about it, and the CDC had different guidelines about cruises like every other week, so we've been following all the CDC developments of should we go, should we not go, is this a big mistake. But I mean, they required proof of vaccination,
right.
And then they required a negative COVID test there on site before you could get on the boat, which already puts it ahead of most everywhere else I've been for the last 2 years.
Yeah,
like Publix isn't requiring a negative COVID test.
Or
vaccination. You know, like everywhere else I go, and you know, we live in Georgia, so there's a lot of places you go where they no one's ever worn a mask. So I felt all right about it. Yeah, I don't think there was any outbreaks during the cruise or anything weird happened or anything.
You would know by now, anyways. I would think.
I would hope so.
Yeah. There is a Facebook group, so I feel like if anyone had any issues, it would have been posted on there and I would have seen that, because I've been following it afterwards because people are posting pictures and all that, seeing where I might have been in the background.
We found ourselves a few times in the background.
We did. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And they didn't require masks everywhere on the boat, but like when you go into the little buffet restaurant, there was always someone there with hand sanitizer, sanitizing you before you go in and things like that. So no, it was fine actually. So I think it was all right.
Yeah. Having done this, I can't picture doing a regular cruise just because
no music.
There's music constantly playing, and it was music you enjoyed because it was.
Well, even just walking around in the corridors, the monkeys are playing.
Yeah.
Or the Beach Boys are playing. So it's just like everywhere you go, it's just your kind of stuff. And everyone on the boat likes the monkeys and likes the Beach Boys, you know, like there's no one accidentally got on the Beach Boys cruise. It's fun. You know, we used to go to conventions all the time and concerts all the time. And so, but you know, then the pandemic happened. And so it's nice to be back around sort of like-minded people who are having a good time and enjoy the same things that we enjoy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I can just picture on another cruise, it's nothing's going on. You just kind of go and there might be a concert or might be a comedian and you just entertain yourself. And I'm like, why would I pay all this money to go do that? It sounds boring.
There was a comedian though.
There was a comedian.
Joe Piscopo was on our cruise.
Oh, I saw that. Yes. Yes. Of
Star Trek fame, as far as I'm concerned. Data met Joe Piscopo in the holodeck one time and he did taught him how to do a Jerry Lewis impression, which is like a random scene. But we saw Joe Piscopo and he was pretty good. He was definitely catering to the older cruise crowd, which you're on a cruise, you know, make the cruise people laugh. But he sort of has tailored himself now as more of like a Rat Pack kind of a guy. He's got the 60s suits and he'll do some crooning and then tell some bad jokes and do some more crooning. And yeah, it was fun. I never saw it through a whole Joe Piscopo set, but I saw part of two different Joe Piscopo sets. And they were a good time. He had the crowd in his palm of his hand and he had everybody singing and laughing. And, you know, he had a one routine that was based around Sweet Caroline, which is just a great song to get a crowd worked up because everybody's ready to go bump, bump, bump when it's time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's low hanging fruit, but it was fun though. He was doing a good job.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you were the youngest people on the ship?
Yeah. What about the kids?
We weren't, but we were definitely.
We were very close.
Yes.
There was a couple other people in our general age range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there may have been a couple in their late 20s, very early 30s. Yeah. There was at least one girl who looked like she was probably in her mid to late 20s.
And we met some Monkees fans there.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of little Monkees get togethers of fans who are just hanging out. And so that was fun to meet other people who are big into the Monkees. People like us who went primarily because of Mickey, not primarily because of the Beach Boys, you know, which I like the Beach Boys. I'm happy to go on a cruise with them. But if Mickey hadn't been on this cruise, we wouldn't have gone in the first place.
No.
Yeah.
Anything else about the cruise or did you want to take it back to dry land?
So this is not cruise and not it is kind of pre-cruise dry land that is in relation to the Monkees. We stopped at a record store and found one of those glove puppets of the Monkees for sale there. It was very beat up and worn, and the little pull thing had been removed.
Yeah, the original, it's a if you've ever seen it out there, it's a hand puppet with the four fingers. Each of the four fingers has one of the monkey's heads on it. And so you, like your hand is the monkey's. And it was an item that was for sale in the 60s. And we're big puppet people and we're big monkeys people. So we've always had our eye on this thing. But usually it goes for like $150 and up.
Yeah.
But we were at this little record store in Hollywood, Florida, which they had not just records, but they had a lot of cool old memorabilia there too.
They had so much stuff.
But
we restrained ourselves.
Yeah. So this glove puppet's not in the best condition. And the pull cord that used to talk is just missing.
Gone. But it looks like someone cut it out. Because there was part of the front of the...
Yeah, or it started to rip off and someone removed it. I don't know. But instead of $150 or $200, it was $50 or
$60. 60, yeah.
And so, yeah, we have that now.
Yeah, yeah. That was exciting.
Seeing like old pictures of it, like in the reprints of like Tiger Beat and stuff that came out in the 80s. That sounds familiar.
They also had this really awesome Monkeys Mobile display there.
We did not buy that. We did not bring everything home.
No.
Because then there's the consideration of we're going to go to a cruise and then back to public transport and then to a plane. Like how much we don't want to be loaded down.
Yeah.
So this at least was a mobile item. And we didn't get it back out and play with it on the cruise or anything. But it's fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, and speaking of buying things, there was some merch that was kind of specific to the cruise from what I could tell because I hadn't seen it. Anywhere else, the tie-dye shirt, I guess maybe they have that on one of the tie-dye shirt that says the monkeys.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure that's not, unless it said like Norwegian Pearl on it or something, I would expect it's not. I expect it's something they had on hand, but yeah, one night Veronica goes out walking around on her own and had too much to drink and went to gift shop buying and brought home one of everything.
Pretty much. I got this really cool gray shirt with Mickey's face on it in orange. And I got a shirt of the Temptations and I got Chuck a Dolan Sings Nesmith shirt. And I got a Monkey's tie-dye shirt and
many things
and a Beach Boys shirt. And
we came back with more clothes than we left with.
Yes. Quite a bit.
Did you leave room in the suitcase for all of that?
Yes. Oh, I specifically packed so we could have space.
Bring a bunch of junk back with us.
Yes. My Southwest.
It's all cool though. You picked out good items.
Yes.
So yeah. So then we came back and then we were here in Georgia for a few days and then we left again.
Yeah.
Go track Mickey down again.
Yeah.
And where do we go next?
We went to Nashville.
Yeah.
So
which Nashville? Because there's two Nashville shows on this tour.
Yeah. Yes. So we were in Nashville, Tennessee, the very first one on April 5th.
Yes. And why is that significant?
Because it is my birthday.
Who else's birthday is
it? It is also Coco Dolan's birthday.
Yeah. And we got to spend her birthday with her.
Yeah. So the Jody Ritson, she had a celebrate Coco Dolan's birthday brunch thing. So we got to that and we had a little brunch and
it was nice. There was only 20 people there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a very small space.
It was held at Wind Down Nashville, which is owned by John Billings and his wife. And John Billings is the touring bassist for the Monkees. And so this is his place that he owns in Nashville. So I don't say just him. His wife, I think, does most of the work because he's touring.
Yeah.
But it's a little small place, but they have good drinks and nice ambiance there. They've got stuff on the walls and memorabilia and things. And we had Coco Dolan's birthday there and she sat around with us and talked and told stories and talked about spirituality and told stories about Mickey.
Yep.
Yeah.
We have some stories we are not allowed to share.
Well, I think we are allowed to share the one that that Jody told, don't you think?
I don't remember which one that is.
She said she was riding in the car with Mickey one day and she asked him about a song, if he had written a song. And he's like, I don't remember. So he Googled it to find out if he had written that song or not, which just made me laugh that Mickey had to look it up on Google to find out if he had written the song or not.
You can't expect the writers to know everything. Improvise.
Bad.
Yeah. But it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 Had he written it?
I don't remember now. I don't remember. She didn't say what song it was either. So,
I expect she did say that he had written it. Whatever song it was.
He had written it. But I expect it was not Randy Skauskit.
No. he remembers that.
That's what he remembered.
That's a regular story.
Yeah. But yeah, the food was great. And Coco was really nice. And we got to get her autograph and a photo with her. And there was some merch for sale that you bought. You got a Mickey Dolenz bobblehead and a giant Mickey Dolenz face on a stick. It's like this big around.
Yeah, you can't see this big around, but this big around is the size of Chuck's head.
It's larger than my head.
Larger than his head.
Yes.
It is like life-size Mickey Dolenz head.
It is larger than life-size Mickey Dolenz head.
I don't know. Mickey Dolenz head looks pretty large.
It is bigger than his own head, I promise you. But yeah, we have a giant Mickey Dolenz face now. For whatever
On a stick.
Is it, on a stick.
You could use it as a puppet kind of thing.
That's true. We thought maybe it was a fan. We weren't sure what the... Maybe you're supposed to hold it up at a concert, so you're holding up Mickey Dolenz's face back at him. I don't know. that's what you want to see at a concert, is look into the crowd and see your own face staring back at you.
Hold it up in front of your face to pretend to be him or something. Right.
Yeah. And pretty much all the stuff that was there, it's the stuff that Jody sells on her website. So it was all that kind of stuff. There were some monkeys, pins. The one that I really loved is it's a pin called the Angel Band. Mm-hmm. So it's Mike and Peter and Davey, and they're kind of monkeys in the three primary color, each of them in a different color. Mm-hmm. It was really nice.
Yeah, it's a nice classy pin. And we went to that birthday brunch, but then we also came back later for a meet and greet. Which was fun. No, and
it wasn't a meet and greet. It was a pre-show fan celebration.
Okay. It wasn't meet and greet, and it was just fans.
Yeah.
However, I mean, there was trivia questions, and you won a few prizes.
I won twice.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. Yeah.
What were the questions you got right?
So one of them was who named the monkeys?
No, it was which one of the monkeys helped them name the band or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Something like that.
David Jones.
But it was Davey because he was cast.
Right. Yeah, he was already under contract.
Yeah.
With Screen Gems.
So no one else knew the answer to that. Because a lot of the other times people were like hands up, jumping up and down. Mm-hmm. And that one, I thought about it for a second and I realized no one else had their hands up. So I put my hands up and I just made an educated guess based mm-hmm. on my knowledge.
Yeah. Well, sometimes that's how you get trivia questions right. Even if you don't know the answer, you figure it out.
Like more people did. I mean, you had a 1 in 4 chance of like getting it right. I mean, if you're
that's true.
One
that's
of true. The monkeys, and you know.
Yeah.
Davey, Mickey, Mike.
What about me?
And the other one was there was a show at some point where like this backdrop was lifted to reveal the real monkeys band, the band behind the monkeys or something like that. How is it worded?
It goes back to this. I think this is apocryphal. I don't know for a fact that this is true, but Jody Ritson was interviewing, and now I can't remember the guy's name who she was interviewing, but he was involved with the Wrecking Crew back in the 60s. And he made the claim that there was an event they had set up where a band was behind the curtain and the monkeys were out front pretending to play while the band actually played. I've never heard that story from anybody else. So I just want to preface that. But that guy, now he was there, he claims, and he told the story. But I just wanted to preface that before you say that we're not making that claim. Now it could wind up being true, but it's not a claim that I've ever heard from anywhere else that there was ever an actual band behind a curtain at an event and the monkeys miming. You know what I mean?
I feel so when Jody asked that question, I felt like it was like a stage thing to make fun of the people who are claiming they don't play their own instruments. But basically the question was who was the band behind the monkeys? And no one knew and could even think of anything. And I'm like, well, the Wrecking Crew was playing all of their stuff to start with. So I raised my hand and because Jody was like, it's a really famous band. Because everyone's thinking of like bands, like Beach Boys and Dave Clark Five and all that kind of stuff.
I could see how people would be confused because the Wrecking Crew was never like an official group of people. That was just one of the names that they tossed around about just jokingly. There was never actually a band called the Wrecking Crew, but the studio session musicians that were in LA at that time people we now refer to as the Wrecking Crew is who it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So remember those session musicians. That's the claim that there was an event early in the monkeys and that it only happened once. But I've only heard that story from this one gentleman, and I'm not saying that he's a liar. I'm just saying I've never heard that corroborated from any other sources.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine Mike Nesmith going along with that.
No.
He's going to pretend to play a guitar while someone else plays a guitar.
I don't know. He might have thought it was funny if it was like making fun of the people.
It wasn't. The event wasn't set up according to this gentleman, the duvet wasn't set up to make fun of that. This was when the Monkees were new. But both the session musicians were upset about it because they don't want to play and no one see them. And right. then the Monkees were upset about it. That was the story that the gentleman told. I didn't come to this prepared with the details, but I watched that interview when she conducted it and raised an eyebrow about it. But so I don't know that that story is true, but that's what the story is, that there was an event where session musicians were hidden behind a screen and the Monkees were miming out front.
Yeah.
That's for the benefit of any of you who've tuned in late. Now back to our story.
But I won a pin for each of those questions. So
yes.
I had already bought the Angel Band pin earlier. And the first one I won is a tribute to Mike Nesmith. So it was a pin of his great big giant white cowboy hat and his green hat. Mm-hmm. Wool hat.
I pinned it to my wool hat.
Yeah, because Chuck had his wool hat on and I had the poncho.
Yeah.
And the second one was actually she had originally given me another Angel Band pin, but I went and said, hey, I bought this one earlier, can I go ahead and exchange it? So, and she said, yeah. So it was a very casual thing. They were literally just sitting over there. So I went over and looked at the pins that were left, and I don't remember if there was like something completely sold out, but the only thing that was over there that I didn't have was a pin of Mickey, like as he performs now, and he's like got his hand up with the microphone singing. So I put the Angel pin back and picked me up a Mickey pin. So yeah,
I got up and stepped out for a minute. When I came back, you had somehow won a photograph or something.
Yeah, so they were doing a raffle and you could buy raffle tickets.
Oh, the raffle was
how yeah.
What was the photo that you won?
So I won a photo of Mickey
taken by John Billings.
I'm not sure if that one was taken by John
Billings. I thought they were all taken by John Billings.
Oh, maybe they were. Yes. Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
So it's...
Who's going to sign it?
And Mickey Dolenz is going to sign it, and they're going to mail it to me. So yep. I won a signed Mickey Dolenz photo.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Those autographs aren't cheap.
No. No. There is a really beautiful photo that John Billings had taken. And if you you know Jodi Ritson at all or have seen her posts on the Zilch podcast, she had shared that photo of Mickey and Nez. I guess it was probably like during rehearsal or at the end of a rehearsal for one of their shows. And they're just standing there together. And I think Mickey has his hand on Nez's shoulder. And it's just this really beautiful black and white photo that they have. That was one of the ones that was up for the raffle as well. But I went ahead and bought that one. I could have added a Mickey autograph for an additional $90.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I decided I already had a Mickey autograph. I didn't need another one. I really wanted this photo anyway.
And we needed the $90 because we're about to go to a Mickey Dolenz concert and there's going to be merch there.
Yes.
So let's get on to the Mickey Dolenz concert.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So just... Just getting in, we got there before the doors even opened, and there was these three little kids. Well, I only saw three. I only ever saw three together at once. Apparently, there were four.
I did see a picture of the four of them. The fourth one was little itty bitty tiny.
But they were super adorable, and they were all dressed in like the Monkees, like official. They were in the red shirts with the multiple buttons, and the tallest one had on a wool hat. So, as soon as I saw them, I ran up and I was in my poncho and I was like, can we take a picture of your kids? And then someone offered, do you want to be in the picture with them? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Our mission going to the concert, because like you talked about before, Elaine, that the Blu-ray set that came out in 2016 has been out of print for a few years and it has not been available. I didn't get it when it came out because it was $200 and I kept hemming and hawing about the price, even though I bought the Lost in Space set and the Batman set, which are both probably $100 or so. And then this one was $200. I mean, there's music and things like that. So I get it. But I hemmed and hawed a little bit too long and then it went out of print. And then the only way you could get it was either a bootleg version that someone's selling on a website or scalpers that are charging $500 to $800 for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been frustrated and not owning this Monkey set for the past few years. And so Andrew Sandoval had announced that and now, as the story goes, there had been more stock, but that Rhino had misplaced the stock, that it was lost someplace, which I wouldn't tell that story if I was Rhino, because that's a frustrating story to hear. But apparently the stock had been found and the sets were going to be available now for $250 instead of $200 at the shows with the limited supplies. So he was saying, if you ever wanted the Blu-ray set, now's your chance. Get the set. So our mission, we're at one of the first concert, is to get in the door, beat the crowds, and get the Monkees Blu-ray set. So that was our mission, and we made it.
Yes.
Yes, we got our own Blu-ray set.
Yes, we were very nervous that one of the people in front of us was going to walk away with like 10 of them.
Yeah, I was waiting to, I saw a few people that had a few sets, but I was just waiting to see one of those scalpers with like an armful of 10 of them. And he's planning to go sell them in 2 weeks for $800 a piece or something. So I didn't see that.
They would have a limit on those.
I don't know.
I know they were like, people were posting, hey, I'm going to be at this concert.
Couldn't go to the concerts were picking them up for other people. So I warned Veronica about that, because I was afraid that she would yell at somebody if she saw them with an armful of them. That some people are legitimately buying them for other people.
Yeah.
And not selling them for a markup, because not everyone can get to the shows and the shows aren't going to be every place.
Yeah. Like the people who ended up sitting next to us, they had two. And they may not live together, so they may be each their own copy. And then we saw another person with three, but I wasn't too terribly upset with that.
It's reasonable to buy a few, like if you've got a friend or you, even if you just want to have two of them.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, some people display them, some people,
yeah, one of them's for framing in a shadow box and one of them is for actually watching.
It could be. But of course, now that the tour is over, they're available for sale again at the Warner's Monkees store online for $200 instead of $250. Or you can get the Monkees Blu-ray set and a t-shirt for $205.
Yeah.
And I even checked to see if maybe shipping was more expensive, and it's not. It's like $8 shipping. But I'm glad that we got it at the show, because for one, it was fun and we had a little mission and it was a little exciting to get in and get our Monkees set. But also, I remember when those sets came out and the sets are in cardboard boxes, essentially. It's a fancy looking cardboard box with a lithograph on the front and things like that. But there were some people who had problems with their box getting damaged during shipping. Mm-hmm. And you'd open up and the inside cardboard carton would be damaged, or the corners would be damaged and that kind of thing. So I'm glad that we got our own. I'm not relying on the United States Postal Service to transport it. We kept it safe and we got it all the way back here without dropping it or squishing it or setting a box on top of it or anything like that. So
yeah,
we finally have our Monkees Blu-ray set. We haven't opened it up yet, but I'm excited to.
Yes.
Well, and I was looking at the listing of it today online, and I did not realize it had the 33 and a third TV special in it. And I'm like, I don't know that I ever watched it, because I've had it since 2016 and I've watched all the episodes, but I don't know if I watched the TV special.
And we need to do an episode about that, because Veronica has not seen the TV special either.
No, I still haven't seen Head either.
No.
I've seen it twice, once back a long time ago and then a few years ago, but we just bought a new copy of it on a collection of other movies, because you cannot buy it by itself.
Right.
It's really hard to find. And it's on a collection of other movies with like Easy Rider and other stuff like that. And so, you know, I have it. So if we want to do a future podcast on it, I will definitely be able to watch it again and relive all its trippiness.
Right. Yeah, we should, because Veronica has not seen Head and not seen 33 and a third. So those would be fun, because they are very interesting productions. Yeah. But getting onto the concert, though, the concert was fantastic.
Yeah.
The set list was great. The band was on fire. Mickey, we had talked a few podcasts ago that, you know, Mickey, when we first saw him in 2016, was very animated and dancing around the stage. And he's been a little more subdued the last few times we've seen him. But this time he was dancing. He was making jokes. At one point, he was pretending to talk to the pianist, and then he had to like rush back to his microphone when it was time to sing. And he's clowning around on stage, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that's good.
One of my favorite moments in the concert was, for one, Let's Dance On was a huge hit. Everyone danced. I mean, it seemed like.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone gets up and dances Let's Dance On. But then, you know, it's sort of they darken the lights a bit. And there's sort of, I don't remember if it was a spotlight or if I just imagined there was a spotlight. But he went over and put his arm on Wayne Aver's shoulder. Wayne Aver's was on guitar, and said, OK, we're going to slow things down a little bit. And then the drummer did a 1-2-3-4 count. And then they just launched into No Time. And it was just this like a ripping version of No Time. And it was just like, it was a lot of fun. They were having a lot of fun with it. And then there were the video presentations for each of, you know, Mike, Peter, and Davey. Mm-hmm. And it was very sweet. And, you know, a lot of great high resolution clips. And mm-hmm. even some of the footage that Mickey had shot, it was like footage of Mickey hang gliding that I'd never seen.
Yeah.
And there were some footage that looked like it was filmed out of a hotel room window, because you could see like girls on the streets and stuff. Like it looked like fans that were gathering outside a hotel. Yeah. That Mickey, and they had said at the Q&A on the cruise that Mickey had one of those, like a nice like 8mm camera that he would take around. It has like a chest harness and everything, like a fancy camera.
Oh, wow.
And so he would film things, and they have a lot of that footage. And so some of that they incorporated into the concert as well. So it was nice after having some, the last few Monkees concerts haven't had that, the video productions and things, but that the Monkees were famous for that. They were pioneering that back in the 60s with the video and, mm-hmm. and things like that, the concert, things that are commonplace now, but they weren't then. So right. It's nice to have that back as part of the show with the video presentation and, you know, clips from the shows and from their concerts. And they really, like on Peter's little video presentation, they really focused on his skill as a multi-instrumentalist. They had mm-hmm. him playing Cripple Creek at a concert. And if you've ever seen him play Cripple Creek on the banjo, like your fingers are moving playing that song.
Yeah.
And they had, I think it was Bach he was playing on, an electric organ. You just watched Peter just playing this piece.
Yeah, from various angles, like it was up above or mm-hmm. to one side or like way out. It was mesmerizing.
And then as part of the video presentation, you know, they had Mike and the guys on the Johnny Cash show singing Nine Times Blue.
And now I feel like such a fool for making you crawl back to me.
One of my favorite versions of Nine Times Blue. But then afterward, Mickey pointed out that the Johnny Cash show was filmed right there at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville where we were. So
oh,
that's
cool.
So it's fun to watch that clip. And then they're like, oh, that's, by the way, that's right here. That's
yeah,
where you
that
were.
Was on the stage right yeah. here, like right where I'm standing.
Yeah. Veronica, you did not get thrown out.
I did not get thrown out.
But
I
that
almost
security
did.
Lady had your number. Veronica developed a nemesis during the concert.
Yeah. So I love getting up and dancing, but mm-hmm. I also really hate blocking other people because I know especially like the age range that typically is going to want to go to these
you
concerts.
You like to dance in the aisles.
I like to get up and dance.
Which sometimes puts you at odds with the staff at these venues.
Yes.
I like to joke that your dancing is so hot that you're like the fire marshal won't allow it. it's a public safety risk.
Yeah. So I was trying to not get up and dance too much. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking I like to go dance in the aisle and I won't be blocking anyone. But then they not came allowed. Over and were like, no, because you can't dance. You can't block the aisles. I'm like, if I'm standing up and something happens and I'm in the aisle, I'm going to
like, I
be
promise
in the
I'll
aisle.
Stop dancing if a fire breaks out.
Yeah. Yeah.
If people are fleeing a fire, I'm not going to still be dancing, you know?
No, I'll be running with them out the door.
But it's not permitted to get up and dance like that.
Yeah.
But then she was back again. Was it during Daydream Believer?
I
think it was during Daydream Believer. And
because everyone normally has out their cell phones because mm-hmm. no one brings lighters anywhere anymore. And right. lighters used right. to be the thing.
But you had been gifted a lighter.
Yeah, I'd been gifted a Monkees lighter on the cruise.
Actually, it's a Monkey Mania radio lighter.
Yeah.
Someone from Monkey Mania Radio had given Veronica a lighter with a Monkey Mania radio sticker on it. And you still had that in your bag.
Yeah.
So you got out your lighter to hold your lighter up at the concert.
And they immediately rush over and they're like, no.
Yeah. Like it's like a Bic lighter.
Yeah.
If you drop it, it goes out.
It's going to go out. Yeah. Like,
if anything, it's going to burn me. Why? If it hits my arm, because it's still warm
no, it
on the metal.
Yeah. The metal might, but yeah. Those things don't stay lit. Even when you're holding the trigger still, you have to keep lighting it. Like, there's no fire risk from holding this thing up. But it was funny that you're at a concert and you get in trouble for dancing and you get in trouble for holding a lighter up during the slow song. Like, This is unacceptable behavior for a concert.
This is not the first time I've gotten in trouble for getting up and dancing.
No, yes, that's commonplace. But I used to smoke cigarettes, and so I used to always have a lighter in my pocket. So I would always hold a lighter up at a concert. I was holding up that Monkey Mini radio lighter at the Beach Boys concert. Mm-hmm. No one tried to rush me, you know. But I guess maybe it's because the Ryman is a historic venue. I don't know. But
that's possible.
Dancing is not permitted, and lighters. Yeah. So I think all that lady did all night was just keep an eye on you.
Yeah.
And then I started laughing later and you asked me why. And I had the mental image of this lady chasing Veronica around at the concert, like while the band's playing, like romp style. through the hallways.
Now I'm picturing it like speeded up, like either a Monkey's Romp or like Benny Hill or something.
Right. while Mickey's singing No Time or something. Yeah. And Veronica's being chased by security.
Yeah. And I duck down behind the seats and then pop up like five rows back, start dancing.
Right. Then you're at the beach for no reason.
Yep. You know?
Yeah. So the concert was a lot of fun, though. We had a great time. We got our Blu-ray set, which was the goal. And we had a great time watching Mickey. We had great seats. And it was a lot of fun. I don't know what he's going to be doing next, but I can't imagine he's going to go too long without touring. But it was bittersweet, too, because, I mean, obviously he's not going to be touring as the Monkees anymore.
No.
And he said he that's one of his lines in his interviews, is that he's not going to go out as the Monkee. So this was Mickey Dolan celebrates the Monkees. And it was really fulfilling a lot of those dates that they had already scheduled with Mike when he was still alive, that got postponed because of the pandemic. But I don't know the next time he goes out, if it's going to be a Monkees show with clips from the Monkees and things like that, or if it'll just be Mickey Dolan solo dates from now on, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if this will be our last Monkees concert or not.
I don't know. I did see an interview with Mickey where he said he'd love to keep touring in whatever shape or form that ends up being, that obviously it's not the Monkees because it's just him, but that he would love to keep going out on the road and performing.
And I'm sure he will. But like this, because there was so much Monkees content, there was the video and the Monkees merch. Mm-hmm. And so it was still very much a Monkees show, even though it was just Mickey.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what he does next. But yeah, we did sort of stop and like, is this our last Monkees concert? You know?
Yeah. Because we've seen Mickey like on his own. And before in Atlanta, he was at the City of Winery in Atlanta one time. Which Chuck still gives me a hard time because I was exchanging Girl Scout cookies and we missed the first song and a half.
Yes, I missed the beginning of the Mickey Dolan concert.
I wanted to go to that show, but I had a wedding I was supposed to go to that day. And I'm like,
but yeah, we had a good time, and now we're back home and sort of waiting to see what's going to happen next, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, something is happening next that we definitely know of. Mickey is scheduled to be on the Flower Power Cruise.
That's right. That's right.
Which we will be on. Mm-hmm. It's going to be our 10th anniversary.
Our friend's wedding anniversary.
Wedding anniversary.
Will be the month before. But yes, we're going to go there to celebrate our 10th anniversary.
Yeah. I'm too young to get married.
And apparently on the Flower Power Cruise, they do a renewing vows ceremony with one of the celebrity hosts. And I don't know if you get to choose them or if it is chosen for you. So we're hoping to get Mickey Dolan to renew our vows. We'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would settle for Peter Noon as well.
Yes,
I'd be happy.
Those are the two headliners currently. Noon,
that'd be fine too.
Yeah,
but yeah. So the Beach Boys cruise was our first cruise, and we did a short cruise to make sure we don't hate it, or Veronica's not sick all the time, or something miserable. You know,
I did take the ginger pills every day, not like the chewy gummy things, but like the actual full ginger pills that are supposed to help with that. I didn't have any problems. I don't know if it was because I took those, so I didn't have any motion sickness.
Just because you were drinking the whole time. We got the unlimited drinks package and they lost money. So we started drinking at like 10 a.m. But yeah. And so yeah, next year we're going to see Mickey at the Flower Power Cruise. And I don't know what between now and then. So, but we've had fun. It was a good like week and a half of
monkey awesomeness.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
It sounded like from when Jody was talking at the pre-show fan event that she was the one that was scheduling him at conventions. Based on the way she was talking, it sounded like he might be at some conventions at some point.
Well, he's already scheduled at some.
Yeah, he scheduled one in the UK at some point. He's going to be at a convention over in England later. Okay. Maybe he'll be at Dragon Con.
I would love for him to be at Dragon Con.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't imagine that Mickey's going to go too long without touring. They did mention, though, that he really enjoyed being homebound for the first time, working in his garden and cooking and woodworking. And they said that even, you know, because everyone's wearing masks, he could just go to Home Depot and no one stops him, you know. So he was enjoying just, you know, working around the house and going to Home Depot and talking to people about woodworking and things like that. And no one saying, oh, my gosh, aren't you that guy from that band in the 60s? You know, but I can't imagine he'll wait too long. I expect there'll be something announced of Mickey tour dates again sometime soon. Yeah. I would love it if he brought back he used to do a Mickey's Monkeys Christmas show. Oh, and that was before they did Christmas Party. So it would be a combination of just Christmas songs that he and Coco and the band would sing, and then monkey songs like Daydream Believer and I'm a Believer and things like that. But now that there's Christmas parties out there and there's actual Monkeys Christmas songs, I mean,
yeah,
bring that show back. That'd be great. That would be cool. Yeah.
Doesn't even have to be a live show. It'd be a live stream.
But I would like for it to be a live show.
Yes. Please and thank you.
Yes.
All right. So Chuck, do you have a you might also like this week?
I do. I actually have two. One of them is music and one of them is not. But first off, the Cowsills, who you may remember from the 60s, have a new single out. It came out just 2 weeks ago. Actually, it came out while we were traveling, and I listened to it on my phone at a bus station. It's called Nuclear Winter. And I close my eyes for the dawn on a nuclear winter. And it's actually a song that Bob Cowsill and Peter Bunch had done back in the 80s when they were performing as Chapter 9. But now the Cowsills have done it. They have an upcoming album that's been in the works for a few years. It's kind of got pandemic delayed like a lot of things, called Rhythm of the World. That's supposed to be out now in fall of 2022. But I recommend checking out the Cowsill song Nuclear Winter. It's fun. I mean, it's fun as for a song about impending threat of nuclear annihilation. They still sound great. And it helps that they were very young.
Right.
Like, I think Susan Cowsill was like 10 years old when the Cowsills were popular. You know, I actually have a Cowsills album I found at a thrift store. This would be a quick story. I found this Cowsills album, okay, at a thrift store. And I opened it, right? I pulled the record out and there were newspaper clippings stuffed inside. And one of the newspaper clippings was about Dark Shadows. And one of them was from a magazine and it was about Susan Cowsill meeting Davy Jones. And I'm certain those newspaper clippings have been stuffed in there since 1969. And it's just, it's like this record is just like a time capsule of some like 13-year-old girl in the 60s who she and I had a lot in common because she likes the Cowsills. She likes Davy Jones. She likes Dark Shadows. So, that's one of my favorite things I've ever found at a thrift store for a dollar was this Cowsills album. But I had a second you may also like because the Monkees were not only a music group, they were also a comedy group. And a lot of their comedy was inspired by the Marx Brothers. And there's this guy, Frank Ferranti, who has been playing Groucho Marx on stage in various capacities for 40 years. And he was very close friends with Groucho's children. But his one-man show, Frank Ferranti's Groucho, has been filmed for PBS. So if you check your PBS listings, it might be playing in your area. It's not playing in my area, but luckily for me, it's available on DVD. You can get it from Frank Ferranti's website. And my copy of Frank Ferranti's Groucho just arrived today. And he does an amazing Groucho. And I'm looking forward to watching his one-man show. And if you like the monkey style of humor from the TV show, then you probably also like the Marx Brothers. And so I would recommend that for you.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, Elaine, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitter at Monkeying Around and on Facebook on our Facebook group, Monkeying Around.
Yay. And Chuck, what about us?
Feltnerdy.com.
Which takes you to our Facebook page.
Yep. Or you can find us at Earth Station Trek. It's a Star Trek podcast. So check out Earth Station Trek. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks for monkeying around. Thanks for monkeying around with us. Be sure to like and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and monkeyingaround.com.
Oh, hey, that's all right. We'll take a taxi.